This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah, walhamdulillah, wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulillah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, everyone. Welcome back to the ASI Weekly Q&A with Sheikh Akram Nadwi on every Thursday at 6 p.m. BST. Without further ado, let's begin. Sheikh, we have some private questions that have come in, so let's start with those first. Yeah. The first question that we have is by someone who's asking, I'm intending to buy a property and have £8,000 as a deposit. The mortgage offer has been accepted and the stated deposit amount. However, exchange of contracts have not yet occurred. Zakat has not been paid on the £8,000 amount. Is this money zakatable under the above circumstance?
So, you know, the money is still with this man. He has not given the money to father.
Yes.
So then he has to pay, yeah. You know, anything before the submission of the price, zakat will be obligatory. Still he has to, whoever has ownership, he has to pay zakat.
Even if the agreement has already been made?
The agreement doesn't matter. Agreement could be cancelled. Agreement can happen. You know, the time when zakat is obligatory, if the money is with you, you have to pay zakat.
Okay, Jazakallahu khairan, Sheikh. The second question is giving bay'ah to a sheikh or a murabbi or a spiritual guide necessary, i.e. wajib, before one dies?
No, our bay'ah is with Allah and His Messenger. You know, the Quran makes very clear, Allah commands believers must obey Allah and His Messenger. So, and another bay'ah is for the ruler. So if somebody is a ruler, you know, hakim, khalifa, then it is bay'ah of obedience in the matter of the government and jihad and all those things. But in the matter of the religion, following halal and haram, piety, fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all the commands, you don't need any bay'ah. It is already Quran and Sunnah. In any shaykh and murabbi, what will they do? They will command you something which Allah already has commanded, and they will forbid you something which Allah already has forbidden. There's no need for any bay'ah. And if they differ from Allah's Messenger, then you have to disobey them. So obedience is only for Allah and His Messenger. The teachers are only, like I'm teaching you, but there's no need for anybody to do any bay'ah with me. Actually, sometime you can differ from me. As long as you obey Allah's Messenger, according to any opinion, you are fine. So there's no obligation on any believer to do any bay'ah with anybody for religious matters. Because that bay'ah is only for Allah, His Messenger. But for worldly matters, yeah, there will be bay'ah if there is a ruler, hakim, and you live under him. Like any country, like you live in UK, so you have to obey the law. So similarly, in Islamic country, you have to obey the law. But otherwise, obedience of the ahkam of Islam, that you don't need any new bay'ah. That already is with Quran and Sunnah. Is it clear?
Yes, Jazakallahu khairan, Sheikh. The next question is by Al-Hambranian. He says, Salam, Sheikh, if a person has been affected by difficulties caused by other people without their knowledge, where he has to struggle with physiological conditions like anxiety, will he get more reward?
You know, any difficulty and problem that you face in the life, you'll get a reward anyway. If it's not done by you intentionally, if other people cause you, yeah, you'll certainly get reward. But you need to remind them. So, you get relief because there's sometimes difficulty, that problem can affect your health and affect your mind. So you have to remind them. But whatever sabr you do, patience, you get reward for that. You know, sabr is, one of the important way to paradise. It is very, very important. People should not complain. And thank Allah, you see, every single difficulty that they have got, rewards are multiplied by many, many times. And the Quran is very clear that the people who do sabr, the rewards are given in full. You know, Allah did not take anything. So the rewards are full. And Allah says in the Quran, Inna Allah ma'as sabirin. Allah is with those who are patient. So there's nothing better than Allah being with you. But it does not mean that you live with difficulty. No, if you can cure and treat the difficulty, you can remove it away with any way you should do.
JazakAllahu khairan, Sheikh. We'll move on to the next question. The person asks, my mother is going through depression due to her relations with my father. She is devoted Muslim but has lost hope. Kindly suggest how Muslims should gather strength in such situations.
You know it all really, trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and knowing really that nobody has control over your life. Nobody can harm you except with the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And people should turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ask him. You know, he can remove any difficulty. To lose hope is a sign of the kufr. You know, the kafir don't have, but believers always have hope. You know, like Yaqub alayhi salam, until the last moment, he has hope that his son Yusuf will come. He never lost the hope. That is very important that believers always have hope. That your mother, you know, either she should sit with her father, reconcile. If there is no hope for reconciling, still she should turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, that your father cannot do anything. Nothing will happen. You know, people don't have so much power as people think. Your heart, your mind is absolutely in your hand. You know, you can control as you like. Nobody can rule over your mind and heart. So people can, you know, be strong. Even if people force them to do something, still you can be strong. You know, like the people of the cave. You know, such a strong mind. Ibrahim alayhi salam. Everybody against him, but still strong mind. So, you know, remind your mother, be strong and don't lose any hope. Because nobody can do anything. You know, all these men, they can't do anything. If they are able to do then anything, they can benefit themselves. But they live very bad life. All these men who wrong other people. And actually, harming the women is a very bad character. Very, very mean. You know, it is, you know, in the Quran, it is very mean. In the Sunnah, it is mean. If your father is so strong person, he should go and fight someone who is stronger than him. You know, to oppress the women and wrong them, you know, it is really very mean character. You know, people like that, they don't succeed ever.
Jazakallahu khairan, Sheikh. The next question is by Iqra, who asks, if someone is physically stopping someone from praying and the time for prayer passes, should the person make the prayer up whenever they are free from this oppression, which could be weeks or months? Or is it forgiven because they are physically stopped from praying?
No, when they get the chance, they should pray and they will not get the sin, you know, and they should repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because he brings all the conditions. But the prayer is obligatory. Only thing is, since you cannot pray on the time because somebody forces you to pray whenever it is possible for you, that the Prophet ﷺ has said that whenever people forget or sleep, you know, from any prayer, then they do whenever they wake up. So whenever your difficulty is gone, you can pray. But I don't really think in this world anybody can force you not to pray ever. How can they going to watch you 24 hours? But anyway, I don't know this condition. But generally, it is impossible to watch anybody 24 hours. So still, you can pray. But anyway, if you think you cannot pray, then whenever conditions improve, then you must pray.
JazakAllahu khairan, Sheikh. Sister Fatiha asks the question. She says, Salam, Ya Sheikh. In Surah Baqarah, verse 216, when Allah says, perhaps you hate a thing, but it's good for you, and perhaps you like a thing, but it's bad for you, can this be related to anything that happens to us? Whereas the whole verse is talking about obligatory in which we have to follow, even we might not like it.
Yeah, I know, in every single matter of the life, really, because all the things are done by Allah. Allah is the one who has got power and knowledge. We don't have power and knowledge. So when we don't like something, the reason is because we don't know. And also because we don't have enough power. So we think, oh, this is how I can manage. I can't do more than that. Allah's knowledge is absolute and his power is absolute. So nothing can stop him. So, you know, it could be possible that we don't like something, but Allah can make that thing good for us because he controls the future. He knows everything. It actually happened in everybody's life. Many, many things we did not like, and it happened that they became very good for us. Many things people liked and turned out that it's not good for them. It always keeps happening. And you look in the lives of the prophets and messengers. How good, you know, Musa alayhi salam was forced to leave Egypt. You know, he did not want to leave Egypt, but it turned out to be good for him. Yusuf alayhi salam was, you know, forced to leave his family, Canaan, and then became slave in Egypt for such a long time. But it turned out to be good for the whole family. You know, even the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his companions were forced to leave Makkah al-Mukarramah. But that became good for all of them. You know, and actually that became good for all Muslims until the day of Qiyamah. So their sacrifice, it is so important. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam actually said, "O Makkah, if your people have not forced me to leave, I would never have left you." He did not want to leave Makkah, but he was forced, and it turned out that it was good for him. So in everybody's life, you know, things happen which you don't like, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can make it good. So that by the believer's way is, do whatever you can do, and then leave the result in the hand of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And whatever he does, be content with that.
Jazakallahu khairan, Shaykh. The next question asks, Salam Shaykhna, is it lawful to have two female witnesses for a nikah when men aren't available?
Okay, the thing is, you know, this witness thing is for the court. The truth really is, marriage must be announced. It should be done in public. You know, just this yesterday, a lady phoned me from London that her husband, who is my student, so I don't know his name, so it's not backbiting, he had married someone in secret. So, you know, even if you have two witnesses, it's not really marriage should be known, because you're going to have children, you're going to work, you have to give the rights and properly. How can you marry someone in secret? Secret is zina. Zina is the one who's done adultery that people do, you know, hiding. You know, marriage should be done, you know, in public. So that is very important to understand, really. I don't like when people just get two witnesses technically and marry somewhere in a cave or in a secret place, and they think they have done nikah. That's not nikah, it is zina. You know, marriage is a nikah wal i'lan. Marriage should be declared, announced. People know in public that you are married with someone. Zina is the one which is kept a secret. So anybody who marries in secret, that actually is like zina. And people who marry in public, even if they don't appoint a witness, it's still fine. You know, like you marry in masjid, and somebody in a man says to a woman, "I married you." She says, "Accepted." And there are public, a lot of people. That's fine. You don't need to say, "This person my witness, that person." As long as everybody hears, that's fine. Marriage should be announced. It should be, marriage basically is a public social contract. Social, it is, in society should know it. It is not between two individuals. It is social, matter. The people have to understand this thing.
Jazakallahu khairan, Sheikh. The next question is by Anum, who asks, Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh. Can a Muslim woman marry a Christian man? And what is the evidence of your answer? Jazakallahu khairan.
Actually, people should not marry of other faith anyway, because it always creates problem. So my opinion is, neither Muslim men should marry Christian women, neither Muslim women should marry Christian men. You know, all people should marry in their own religion. Actually, not only that, within the religion, people should marry the people who have, you know, similar background. Because if a different background, it also has problem. Like, you know, somebody speaks English and the wife speaks Urdu, you know, how can they communicate? Or somebody is, you know, he got degree from Oxford and the wife is from a family of a farmer in India. They can't live together, even if they're Muslims. So marriage, you know, is this compatibility that, you know, this is very important. So people should marry the people of their own religion, their own faith, and also they should make effort that it is a marriage done within the people who have a similar background, and more likely the marriage can last.
Jazakallahu khairan, Sheikh. The next question is by Junaid, who asks, is it true that many people will follow Dajjal, many women will follow Dajjal more than men?
I don't know why people hate women so much. So even in this matter, they got the women more than the men. I don't think women will follow Dajjal more. Dajjal will have more access to the men. Dajjal will not go to every house. Dajjal will be more public, you know, announcing. Men are the one who will follow more in his fitna, not the women. Women hardly will know him. If women are forced to leave the house, how they know Dajjal? So it unnecessarily made. You know, anybody who will be with Dajjal, they will follow in his fitna. But to bring here, you know, gender, it is actually just, I don't understand why people bring men and women in every single case. and they want to make women look very bad. So nothing to do with women, really. You know, Dajjal fitna, like kufr and shirk. In this world, there are men who are kafir, there are women who are kafir. You know, it always happens. So similarly, when Dajjal will come, men will fall in his fitna, women will fall. But more likely, men will be more, because they are the one who want power. Because Dajjal will give them money, power, give them ministries, appoint them in. The men find this, men love these things. Like, you know, fabricating the hadith. No single woman has fabricated any hadith. The men fabricated. Why? Because men want power and position. So when they fabricate hadith, they become important in the eye of many people. Then you have new hadith. So similarly, when men come nearer to the Dajjal, they get power and position. So like anyway, like in all these royal courts, men are more there than the women.
Yeah, I think Sheikh, with this one, that it's often, this belief is often attributed to hadith in the Musnad of Imam Ahmad regarding, I think it was Ibn Umar reported that the men will chain up their women at home so that they are not influenced by Dajjal. So some people derive from this hadith that maybe Dajjal will be more convincing to the women, maybe.
I think that I don't know that hadith really. You know, many of these hadiths, actually, there are so many illah and problem. If the hadith is not in many books, but anyway, I don't know about the hadith. But hadith looks really very strange, because men are the one who go to fall in the Dajjal fitna anyway. Why they're going to change their wives? I don't think men love their wives so much that they want to save them from the Dajjal by putting them in chain. You know, I don't think really anything like that will happen. I never have seen in Bukhari all these books. I look in this hadith, but you know, I'm it's more likely that hadith has problem.
Jazakallahu khairan, Sheikh. The next question is by Arifin, who says, is it lawful to follow Imam in Salat via live stream if it is in the same time zone?
No, you know, it should be physically there, and between Imam and followers should not be any barrier. So, you know, they can see the Imam, they can follow the Imam, does not mistake. You know, this is what should be, you know, it is proper. And you don't need really, because, you know, in every year there is Imam and Masjid anyway. Two people can make Jama'ah. So there's no need. If there's need, that's fine. But there's no need, because two people can make Jama'ah.
Jazakallahu khairan, Sheikh. Someone asks,
you know, on this matter, prayer, you know, from, you know, online, all those things. I've written an article, I think maybe in Urdu or somebody maybe translated. So if you read that, that will help you. I explain all the reasoning and the evidence.
Jazakallahu khairan, Sheikh. The next question is by Aftab, who asks, where can I learn the fiqh of marriage so that I can contribute in India in the marriage problem there?
You know, I've taught so many courses on the marriage in full details. And there are many of those things that people generally don't teach. And I think As-Salam also have got some of those recordings. So if you ask As-Salam, they can provide you, you know, about all this. That will be good help for you, because I've taught the whole day course on marriage many times.
Jazakallahu khairan, Sheikh. On this, we do have the marriage course. I will, for our viewers right now, I will share that in the comments. So please do keep an eye out for the link for those that want to sign up to that course. And before we continue, just a quick plug from me. As-Salam Institute enrollments for the next academic year are now officially open. You can enroll onto our foundation year, Arabic immersion year, the Islamic scholarship program, or the all-new Quran study program. Details are on the website, but sign up within the next 10 days. I believe there's up until May 11th, so that you can take advantage of the £300 discount. So I will share the link in the comments. So do keep an eye out for that. And with that, let's continue. So the next question is, Sheikh, on what occasion did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam do istikhara?
You know, istikhara simply means the Quran. Actually, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam already learns from the Quran. Quran says, "Fa'idha azamta, fatawakkal 'ala Allah." When you decide to do something, then do it, but don't trust in yourself, trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Istikhara means now you decided to marry someone, to do this, to do that. So then ask Allah to make good for you. Trust in Him that, oh Allah, I've decided this according to my knowledge and my ability. You, but I trust in you. You are the one who makes something good or something bad. That what it means really. Istikhara does not mean to consult Allah, to ask Him whether I can do or not. That's not istikhara meaning. Istikhara meaning is that I want to do something, but I don't control everything. So I ask Allah to make it good for me. So that is istikhara, that to ask Allah to make it good for you. So you decide that to marry someone, and then ask Allah, oh Allah, I decided that, and make it good for me. That is istikhara. But some people think istikhara means to consult Allah. So you have no right to consult Allah. Allah is never going to tell you. So some people, what they do dua, and then they sleep in the and they wake up in the morning. Whatever comes to their mind, they think that's from Allah. Actually, sometimes comes opposite thing. Sometimes people do two istikhara, three istikhara. Sometimes they ask other people to istikhara. All these istikhara are useless. You know, they have no justification. The Prophet never did istikhara like that. No companion ever had done. No pious people. I never have seen any of my teachers doing istikhara like that. All they do is they follow their knowledge and then they ask Allah to help them. Even actually if your shoes are broken and you want them to be repaired, ask Allah to help you. Everything is done by Allah, not by you. But you have to decide according to the knowledge that He has given you. You have to decide. So istikhara simply means you decide, then ask Allah, oh Allah, make it good for me.
Jazakallahu khairan, Sheikh. The next question is by Ahmed, who asks, please correct me, Sheikh. Are families with mortgages eligible for zakat even if the family has a high income?
Yeah, but if they even can't go there to settle the debts and they still remain poor, they're poor. But if they keep the income, yeah, then no, they're not poor. So simple, actually, and the truth really is, if any got house on a mortgage or any property, first thing they should do, they should settle the loan because it is interest. That's first obligation. Even for that, if they can receive zakat and settle the mortgage, that's much, much better. Because they're in debt, they should not go for Hajj and Umrah. They should not go for any excursion or anything with the family. They should spend all the money just paying the mortgage.
Jazakallahu khairan, Sheikh. The next question is, what is Salatul Duha and how many rakats is it?
There are differences of opinion really whether there is Salah with the name, this name or not. But anyway, some people who think there is Salatul Duha, that actually is when sun rises, like 10 to 20 minutes after sunrise until midday, you can pray anytime. It could be two rakah, it could be four rakah, it could be something around that. You can do, there's no limit for that. So the Prophet did also two rakah, sometimes people have seen, but did the Prophet did regularly? We don't have proof really. He did on occasions, when he conquered Makkah al-Mukarrama, then he did. Or he came to Medina in the morning time and he started with the mosque, he prayed like that. When he was at home, did he pray Salatul Duha? That is not very sure. That's why some people deny if there's any prayer with this name. But anyway, those who want to pray, they can do any rakah, two, like tahajjud. So they can do two rakah, four rakah, six, eight.
Jazakallahu khairan, Sheikh. The next question is by Ihsan, who asks, what is the reason for why words in Arabic that are pronounced with a dad are pronounced with the za sound in Urdu?
There's no reason. Urdu people, they don't have dad. Dad is Arabic, purely Arabic thing. In English people don't have. So, you have to put something. Like in English people, they put a D. Urdu people, they pronounce Zai because it's a different language. Not only this letter, so many letters in Urdu, they don't like Tha. Tha is in Urdu, Seen. They write Tha, but they pronounce Seen. So, La Ha, Ha, they write Ha, but they pronounce Ha. So, there are many letters in Arabic which are not in Urdu because they don't have. So, they pronounce as their own language, but they with honesty, they write as it in Arabic.
Jazakallahu khairan, Sheikh. The next question is by Sumail, who asks, Sheikh, when will you travel to Bangladesh next time?
I don't know. The Bangladesh people have asked me, to come this October. I don't know really because I actually had no plan, nothing. They have asked me to come in October. I don't know really if I'm going or not.
Inshallah, inshallah. The next question is by Yasin, who asks, Sheikh, if someone apostates, can they take the kalima again? Would that alone suffice, or do they have to say kalima and verbally renounce what made them apostate in the first place?
No, just say, you know, they accepted Islam, they come back, that's enough, really. Repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sincerely. Maybe they can also make people witness, to people know that now they're Muslims. But even if they don't do that, it's still fine. You know, just they say kalima, I know, shahada, and if from the heart they believe, and they start the prayer and all the works of Islam, and leave the past life, yeah, they're fine.
Jazakallahu khairan, Sheikh. The next question is by Samuel, who asks, Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh. How does the witness work in the case of a family conflict? Can family members be considered witnesses? And how does the witness weight work for male and female, as in how many numbers?
And the witness only work if you go to the court, you know, especially Muslim court. But if you go to non-Islamic court, then you have to find out their rules about the witnessing. But if you go to Islamic court, yeah, witness will work. But those witnesses where the doubt can rise, they will not be accepted. Like, for example, you know, witness of your son and daughter will not be acceptable, because there could be thinking they just support you, you know, without any reason. So those who are close relative, their witness will not be accepted in the court, because there is a doubt that it could be just made up, you know, misunderstanding or something, because they want to support you. It should be somebody else. But you don't worry about this, because these matters are only done by the judge. They know how to make the case, and who, you know, who is more, they have to judge who is more right. There are many, many ways to find the truth, not only witness. A good judge can find out what the truth is.
Jazakallahu khairan, Sheikh. The next question is by Awais, who asks, Do you recommend us studying the books of Sheikh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab?
You know, I never read any book of Sheikh Muhammad ibn Wahhab, but I have known, really, the people who read it. They say it is very good about Tawheed against the Shirk. So anybody who, you know, teaches about Tawheed and Shirk, you can read. But there are so many books anyway. You can read Ibn Taymiyyah, you can read Ibn Abdul Wahhab, you can read Waliullah Dehlawi in his Hujjatul Barakah. So many people have written on Tawheed and Shirk. But the Quran is enough, more than enough. You can read the Quran. Anyway, if somebody reads Sheikh Muhammad Abdul Wahhab, Rahimullah Ta'ala, there's no harm. You know, wherever you get something good, you should go anyway.
Jazakallahu khairan, Sheikh. The next question is by Iram, who asks, is marriage predestined or is it our free will?
You know, this actually a question I answered so many times. Basically, free will and your action both don't conflict in every single matter. It actually seems like prayer. When you go to pray for Rakah Zohar, you know, it is predestined as well, and also it is your free will. Both are there. So similarly, marriage, you choose. But also it is determined by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Both is there. You can't separate Allah from your actions. None of your actions can be without Allah anyway. He is the one who does. And you are responsible because you have will, you have action. So both things are there. So you know really that Allah does everything. Allah knows everything. But at the same time, you are responsible.
Jazakallahu khairan, Sheikh. The next question is by Aftab, who asks, in India, what is the period of husband or wife after marriage? If a husband does not talk to her or has left her for many months, how many months or years does she have to wait? People feel it's wrong by husband, and the court charge a fine for talaq.
Yeah, no, the husbands have no right really to abandon their wives. It is, Quran has, you know, disliked this thing anyway. If the husband says, I will not come to my wife, then it's called Ila. Then if he does like that for a month, she will be separated. But if he does not do Ila, does not say, I will not come, but just, you know, he's making her to suffer, does not come. It is not divorce, but it's a very bad manner. You know, it is sinful act that to leave your wife like in that condition. You know, unless you go somewhere with her will, her permission, like for example, you go for a study somewhere abroad, or you go for work, like people go to Gulf countries for 2 years, 3 years, then they come back, they always contest with their wives. So that's fine, because they have an economic problem. But for no reason, just to be away from your wife is not right, really. And legal action should be taken against those people, because the wives have many, many rights, and this person not fulfilling the right, so legal action should be taken. But just being away does not, is not really divorce. Divorce will be unless he divorces, or he said by oath, I will not come to my wife. Yeah, then it will be after 4 months separation.
Jazakallahu khairan, Sheikh. That's all we have for today, unfortunately. If your question hasn't been answered, please remember it, and perhaps we can aim to answer it next week. Jazakallahu khairan, Sheikh, for your time. And jazakallahu khairan, everyone, for joining. And we'll be back next week, Thursday at 6 p.m. BST, as always. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.